Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. This is not an encouraging verse to start our text. It is also not an encouraging verse to start a sermon, that we have a crafty serpent before us. If I were to take a poll here of how many like snakes, I probably would not get a lot of hands. But it's not encouraging because we know what the serpent Satan did in the verses to follow our text. We know the temptation of Adam and Eve, and we know that they fell to that temptation. And what's more, we definitely know the effects of their original sin on all of humanity ever since. And boy, don't I know it. My name is Adam. It doesn't get worse than that, people. The Large Catechism picks up on this craftiness of the serpent when it's talking about the Lord's Prayer, specifically the sixth petition, when it says, "And lead us not into temptation." And this is how it's elaborated on here in this portion of the Large Catechism. If you attempt to help yourself against temptation, that is, if you attempt to help yourself by your own thoughts or resources, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil a wider opening. For he has a serpent's head. If it finds an opening into which it can slither, the whole body will irresistibly follow. Think about that the next time that you see a crack in your doorway between your garage and your home, and you've ever had a snake in your garage. Been there, done that, also have the crack right between the door and everything. So there you go. The Satan, all he has to do is have a little crack to enter in, and the whole body follows. So this isn't encouraging either, people. This is not helpful to us. Not only is the serpent more crafty than any other beast that's been made there, but all of our thoughts, all of our resources are no good against Satan either. And this is exactly what Adam and Eve found out in the Garden of Eden. Tempted to be like God. Tempted to know good from evil. Tempted with some tasty fruit. They bit in without hesitation, and they were no match for the crafty serpent Satan. Nor are we. The hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," clearly articulates this in the first and second verse when it says, "The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth, he has no equal. No strength of ours could match his might. We would be lost, rejected." When we face temptation, we need to realize that we are facing a losing battle. We don't stand a chance. And this is why we're instructed in the meaning of the second commandment, which the second commandment is, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God," which means we should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. But call upon it. When you and I are tempted against the commandments of God by the tempter, by the crafty serpent, Satan, we are, in fact, in trouble. We are. We are no match for Satan. In fact, we are in trouble because we are facing a scam. Now, in today's world, many of us, far too many of us, know what it is like to face a scam. Because if we were to look at our phones, we have this best friend that comes up all the time known as spam. A scam or spam, offers much but fails to deliver. That's what Satan did with Adam and Eve. He offered that they could be like God, but he didn't deliver. What's more, he couldn't deliver. He's nothing but a liar. Scripture in the book of John actually calls him the father of all lies. Satan is nothing but a crafty, sneaky, liar, scam artist. That's all he is. But just like Adam and Eve found out, we are no match for the crafty, sneaky serpent scam artist. We need help. We do. And our only help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so when we are tempted in any way to separate ourselves from God in our sin, we are to call upon His name and ask for His help. Say something as simple as this: Dear Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Because prayer can resist this crafty serpent, because the crafty serpent, well, he ain't got nothing on Jesus. He's no match for the power of Jesus. In fact, my recommendation is this, because guess what? My shirt is black for a reason, because, well, a pastor's shirt is black because it reminds you I'm a sinner too. And so I face temptation just as much as you. And what's more is that I recognize that in the midst of temptation, we are extremely weak. And so my recommendation is to pray a prayer of protection like this: lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, in Jesus' name. Pray it even when you're not being tempted. Because here's the thing, when the temptation arises, you will be that much more equipped when you are, in fact, at your weakest point. You will have it that much more readily available upon your lips and in your heart. Remember, and never forget, you, me, we are weak. That's never going to change on this side of eternity. God is the one who is strong. So turn to Him for strength, because you and me, we don't have what it takes. He does. And He's got your back. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which you heard read earlier, God gave a promise to Adam and Eve that proved that He had all of humanity's back. God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, my preference here is actually the New International Version, because it says, "He will crush your head." And I really like that word, crush, because it's all about crushing the head of the serpent, Satan. And that's just a really cool thing when you say it and you stomp your foot. Then we understand what's happening, right? What happened is that the promised offspring of Eve would come and crush the head of the serpent, Satan, once and for all. Like I said last Sunday, all Jesus does is win, no matter what, and this Sunday is no different. The serpent, Satan, may be crafty. He may think he has won, but not no way, not no how. Just as we heard in the gospel reading here, when Jesus was taken out into the wilderness by the Spirit and He was tempted by Satan again and again, no matter how hard Satan tried, Jesus came out on top, just as He did on the top of Mount Calvary. Because there on the top of Mount Calvary, there on the place called the skull, the offspring of Eve came and fulfilled what He had promised to do all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He promised Adam and Eve He was going to be coming. And all of a sudden, He fulfilled it in the most unlikely way possible. He defeated death, and He defeated the devil with His own death. And then he went down into the very depths of damnation himself. Victory achieved, and the devil never saw it coming. That is why we journey through the season of Lent in penitential confidence. We trust that as we confess our sins, that the victory over sin, the victory over death, the victory over the devil has already been won. It says the Augsburg Confession, the confessions of our Lutheran church, actually state it this way. True repentance is nothing else than to have contrition and sorrow, that's sadness over our sin, or terror about our sin, and yet at the same time believe in the gospel and absolution that sin is forgiven and grace is obtained through Christ. So we approach every single Sunday here throughout the season of Lent, in fact, every single Sunday completely, we approach the house of the Lord. We've got that moment of silence, you know, when all Lutherans get really, really uncomfortable because they don't like silence, and then the pastor turns and everybody freaks out because they're like, oh, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. You don't have to fear. Every single time, the pastor will turn around and he will proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven. Don't be afraid. Jesus has won the victory over your sins. No matter how big they are in your mind, he's already conquered them all. As St. John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to every one of his promises. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, he made a promise. He promised that he was going to crush the head of the serpent, Satan, and he did it. It is finished. It is. It's true today, and it's true forevermore. He is and forever will be your faithful and victorious God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.